So let us open up our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll be reading from verse 26 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 to 31. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls for each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. So, 2023, as Colleen mentioned, we're half a month in. And I don't know how this year, 2023, has been for you so far. But if it hasn't been that great, you have another 11 and a half months to get it better, right? I don't know about you, what plans you made for this year, but I think that everyone in this place would like to grow this year. We want to grow spiritually. We want to grow in the relationship with our family. We want to grow at our workplace. We want to grow. I think no one in this place started this year desiring to fail, desiring to be the worst year of his life or her life, to be a year of failure. We all want to grow. We all want to have a great year, a good year. And whenever we desire something like this, whenever we want to grow, whenever we want to grow spiritually, I think one of the first things we need is a good perspective, the right perspective. And this is also the title of my message tonight, the right perspective. If you want to grow in your life, you need to assess the situation you're in. You need to understand where you're at, where you're going, what's happening. You need to see the situation as it is. You need to have the right perspective. If someone wants to grow his business, he can do it with flawed financial statements, right? Or he shouldn't do it because it might not grow if the numbers aren't right. If someone wants to start dating, he or she shouldn't do it without having the right intentions in mind. Because if they do, they will hurt not only themselves, but the person they're going to be with. If someone wants to remodel his kitchen, he shouldn't do it with a bad level. Because at the end, if not, it might look artistic. But when you put your eggs on the countertop, they might roll off, right? You need to have the right perspective. You need to see things correctly. And what I can see in this passage is two different views, two different perspectives. The perspective of God through the prophet and the perspective of the people of Israel. And now for tonight, we'd like to look at those two different perspectives, the perspective of God through the prophet and the perspective of the people of Israel. And I'd like to approach this message by the way that it was given to us through Scripture, by the way God did it through the prophet for the people of Israel. And that was through three series of questions that we're going to look at. First, Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you complain, Jacob? A personal question for me, for my family. Question that I asked myself before, and I'm going to ask myself very many times. Why? Because my son's name is Jacob. but the Bible is not talking here about my son. It's talking about the nation of Israel. But you see, kids complain a lot, right? I see that a lot. Kids complain a lot. Especially here in the United States, and I think in the wealthier countries in Europe, they just have so many things, and I think they can't handle it. At least, I felt like for me and my wife, we were talking, very often, the most difficult days are the days when they get a lot of presents. I think they can't handle all that. It's too much for them. And they're pretty difficult sometimes on those days. And kids complain a lot. But you see, very often as we grow up, as we become adults, this complaining kind of sticks to us. We keep complaining a lot too. And people complain for many, many reasons. People complain about their family. People complain about their friends. People complain about their workplace. People complain about their church. People complain about the church leadership. People complain for many reasons. And then people complain for very little things. You go, you sit in your car, you go to the drive-thru, and you order your Coke, no ice. And you get it in your hand, and as you move it from the counter into your car, you feel the ice. And immediately you complain, I ordered no ice. I can't do ice. And she's like, no, sorry, I'm gonna give you a second cup. Okay. And then you're happy, you know, because you got finally your cup that you wanted. But then 10 minutes later, as you finished your first cup, you realize that ice actually is not such a big problem for you, right? You're thirsty still. And you drink the second one too. Or women, because this is maybe men, maybe not. We don't do that, right? If people mess up our orders, we just take it as it is and we say, God bless you, next time get it right. Women, you know, they stand in front of their closet and they're looking there at the 50 pairs of shoes and say to their husband, I have no shoes to wear. And the husband is going to be like, well, whose shoes did you wear the past few months? If you have no shoes, right? We complain, we still complain, we have third world problems, we do once in a while. Complaining sticks to us. Now, the secular world tries to explain why complaining can be beneficial. I'm gonna skip over all that aspect, although I looked at the reasons. Some of them even make a little bit of sense. We're gonna focus about the fact why complaining is bad. Because most of the time, complaining is very, very bad. All right? The Bible tells us that complaining can be very, very bad. And that's for two major reasons. First, because complaining can turn you into a chronic complainer. And no one wants to be around a chronic complainer. No one wants to be around that guy who constantly complains. Everything is not right for him. Everything doesn't seem to be good enough. Why do people even complain? People very often complain when the things that they expect don't meet the reality. When their expectations are not met by the reality of what they're going through. But they complain when people are not the way they expect them to be. And so they complain about those people, right? People complain. And those people who complain are very often very ungrateful people, very unappreciative people. And people who complain constantly, those can be people also that are very proud or very self-entitled. I don't deserve to be around this kind of people, or I don't deserve to be in this kind of situation, right? And so this is very dangerous when you become a chronic complainer. Second reason why we do not want to complain is because our complaint will end up towards God indirectly. If you keep complaining about God's people, if you keep complaining about people in general, you need to understand that you're complaining about the people Jesus Christ died for. If you keep complaining about the church, you need to understand that you complain about the church that Jesus Christ gave his life for. You're complaining about the bride of Jesus Christ. And you offend God, you insinuate God at a certain point if you're complaining. And you say, no, I don't complain against God. I just complain about that guy. I don't complain about God. I complain about Moses. I don't like Moses. Moses is here. Oh, God, he's in heaven. I don't like Moses. Cannot God work through me and through Aaron as he does through Moses? I have a problem with Moses. I don't have a problem with God. He can use me too. And what does God do? He makes Miriam a leper. I don't have a problem with God. I have a problem with the people around me, right? And then we realize that we actually do have a problem with God sometimes when we complain, and we complain a lot. So this is the main reason why you want to stay away from complaining, and definitely complaining against God. Why? Because you can't complain about God. He's perfect. Look what it says in Isaiah 40:22. He sits enthroned above the circles, a circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. I don't know when the last time was that you asked for advice how you should be living your life based on a grasshopper. So that if the Bible compares us, people, and says we're like grasshoppers before God, I think we cannot tell God how he's supposed to do his planning, how he's supposed to be God, what he's supposed to do with our life. God knows very well. We are supposed to fear God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Psalm 34:9, fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. And then again, I want to fear God. Says God, okay, you want to fear me and fear the people. Respect the people, because that's really the word we're looking for here. Respect the people who are in authority. Who are the people in authority? You have people in authority all over the place. You have people in authority at your workplace. Respect your boss. Respect your supervisor. Respect the owner. Respect the nation you're in, the laws of this nation, the United States, laws of California, right? Respect the authority you have in church. You say, I want to respect the Lord, and the Lord says, well, yes. It's the same principle when we say, Lord, I love you. And then God says, okay, then go and love your neighbor. And the neighbor is very close to us very often. And the neighbor can be our enemy sometimes, right? The third reason why complaining is, and I said two, and now I'm getting to the third one. The third reason why complaining is very dangerous is because complaining can separate you from the Lord. You see, constant complaining will bring an attitude in your heart that is not good. Because every time you complain, you pretty much tell God, Lord, I'm unhappy with the way you do things. And at a certain point, you end up losing your trust in him. You end up losing your trust that God can do the things that he promised you he will do. And then you stand one day before the country that God promised. You stand one day before the land that God promised. You stand one day before Canaan. You stand one day before the gates of heaven. But you lost your faith. You lost your trust in the Lord who brought you that far. You were surrounded by miracles all along, but you lost your trust. Why? Because you became a complainer. And from complaining, you lost the trust in the Lord. Complaining is very, very dangerous, and it can lead to death. And we see it so clearly when we read the first books of the Bible, especially Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Exodus. When we read those books, we see how dangerous complaining can be. Then the second question the Lord asks through the prophet is, why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord? God doesn't see me. God doesn't know me. And in Isaiah 40, verse 26, the word of God says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. What is he talking about? He's talking about the stars. How many stars are there in the universe? Scientists say over 206 trillion stars. Now you do the math. 7.9 billion people on planet Earth versus 206 trillion stars. I'm not a mathematician, but I can tell you there's a huge difference between those two numbers. There's a huge difference between those two numbers. So if God has the power to call each star by name, I think that he has the power and the intelligence and the wisdom to call you by name. He knows you very, very well. Actually, the word of God says in Psalm 139, verse 1, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do." And now listen to this verse 4. "You know what I'm doing, what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord." You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. In other words, the Lord knows you even better than you know yourself. This is the Lord that we serve. This is the Lord that we serve, brothers and sisters, youth. So then how can people ask this question? How can they say, "Lord, my way is hidden from you"? It's obviously the wrong question, right? So what is the correct question supposed to be? "Lord, why can I not see you anymore? Why can I not see you anymore? Because obviously you see me. Why don't I understand that you still see me? Why don't I have you? Why don't I feel you next to me? Why don't I feel your presence anymore?" You need to change your perspective. If you ask this type of question, "Lord, my way is hidden from your eyes," you have the wrong perspective. You need to change it. The Lord sees you very, very well. If you change the way you look at the things you look at change. If you change the way you look at the things you look at change. So it's Wayne Dyer once, a motivational speaker. If you change the way you look at God, God will look different to you. If you see God for who he truly is, if you understand how powerful your God is, how wise your God is, that he never lost sight of you, of your family, of your situation, you were always in the palm of his hands. We need to trust in the Lord. But see, sometimes things that we do separate us from God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 28 says, "There, in a foreign land, you will worship idols made from wood and stone. Gods that neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But from there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him." You know what's interesting to me when I read these two verses? You can leave them up, especially verse 29. What's very interesting to me, "But from there you will search again from the Lord for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him." This is the people of Israel. This is the nation that had the tabernacle in their midst. The tabernacle was in their midst. The tribes surrounded the tabernacle. The Ark of Covenant, God's presence was in their midst. God's miracles, they've seen it every day. They got manna from the Lord. And now suddenly, they have to search for the Lord in order to find him. But not just search for him with all their heart and soul. Why is suddenly God so far away that you have to search for him with all your heart and soul in order to find him? You see how dangerous it is when you start worshiping idols, and you might say, "Well, I don't worship idols anymore." Look into your life and see, we don't serve these idols anymore, but we do serve a lot of idols. We have a huge problem. We serve ourselves. We worship ourselves. We worship our accomplishments. We worship our material accomplishments, our possessions. That's the word I was looking for. We keep wanting more and more and more. and we lose sight of the Lord. And then suddenly you're looking for God and you don't see him anymore. He's suddenly not close to you anymore. You come into this place and you don't feel the Lord anymore. This is truly, truly sad. Coming into God's place and not feeling the Holy Spirit anymore. I was talking to my wife this morning, and it's so sad. You know, we're talking, and she was singing up here, and it crushed her heart. I didn't tell her I'm going to share this, but it's just so sad. You come in here, you worship God, and she told me, you know, people who come, get ready, they dress, they take time. They dress real nice. They come into this place. They sit down, and then they don't sing. They don't worship God. They come into this place, and they don't open their mouth to sing a song to the Lord. And the songs this morning were old songs, Jason. They were not brand new songs that you never heard in your life. I couldn't believe it myself, to be honest. They were not new, brand new songs. And people still, some people don't sing, they don't want to sing. They don't have worship on their lips for the Lord. This is sad, brothers and sisters. This is very, very sad. If you come into this place, you get ready, you do all that, and then you are not able to worship God, what are you doing? Why are you coming into this place if you don't want to worship the Lord? Why are you coming into this place if you don't want to pray? Why are you coming into this place if you don't expect the Holy Spirit to work into your life and change you? Why do you come into this place if you don't want your life to be transformed? If you don't want to be a different being? If you don't want to be a different person? Why would you come into this place? And so, what's even worse is that some people come to the conclusion and say, I guess God left. People around you say, I felt the Lord. You say, well, I didn't feel him. So they leave to a different place, hoping to find him there. As if God would be moving from church to church. Oh, for 2 months I'm going to be at Bethel. Then I'm scheduled at Emmanuel for the next two. And then I'm going to go to Agape. And then I'm going to go somewhere else. Then I'm going to go to the East Coast. And then I'm going to come back. The Lord is at Bethel. The Lord is at Agape. The Lord is at Emmanuel. You need to find him. If you don't find him here and you've spent 10 years in this church and you haven't found the Lord, don't go to look for him at another church. Because it's going to be difficult. You might find whatever else, but you might not find the Lord. And that's very sad if you keep going from church to church, trying to find the Lord and you don't end up finding him anywhere. Look for the Lord wherever you're at. And if someone says, and you feel and you see that he's talking the truth, you see that he's transformed by the Holy Spirit, you see, hey, I found the Lord in this place. The Lord is speaking. The Lord is touching my heart. Then analyze yourself before the Lord. Because a person might be sitting right next to you and you might be feeling something totally different. You might be at a place where you need to search for the Lord from the depth of your heart, from the depth of your soul. But those times happen in your life sometimes. You need to analyze yourself and see what got you there. But don't be disappointed and don't stop. Because the Lord loves you very much. And he wants to be found. You know what the Word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13? If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. The Lord wants to be found. The Lord wants to be found by everyone. He's not hiding from you, brother and sister. He wants you to open your eyes. He wants you to dedicate your life fully to him. And I promise you, challenge the Lord, whoever you are in this place, whoever you are listening online maybe. And I promise you that God will reveal himself to you. Based on scripture, I trust in the Lord my God, that he will reveal himself to you. And that you will feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God wants to be found, amen? Third point. Why do you say, Israel, my cause is disregarded by my God? God doesn't care about me. God rejected me. When do we say that? We say that when we want God to do something in our lives and it doesn't happen. and we get disappointed. And sometimes it sounds very valid. Sometimes you feel very much compassion towards the people who speak that, because you see that they're in very difficult situations sometimes. You know, there's people who are sick for a very, very long time, and they pray every day and nothing happens. They say, the Lord doesn't care about me. The Lord rejected me. I think the Lord rejected me. I'm about to give up hope. And then there is other silly reasons why some people say that, you know, the Lord rejected them just because they didn't get the house they like, the car they like, the job they like, the promotion they like, the girl they like, and all kinds of other things why we blame God. But there's some pretty interesting points and aspects and way people think, and it's true that in certain situations it's difficult to find an answer. When you have a disease that is incurable, and it seems like day by day you're getting closer to death, you have these questions, and they're very difficult to answer on an emotional standpoint. On an emotional standpoint. But what I can do, I don't want to try to answer this type of questions tonight. But I can tell you that I know that God has not rejected you and will never reject you. And I know that one day things will make sense to you. One day you will understand. I know sometimes people who are very close, and they're very, very sick and close to leave this place, this earth, and they think the worst thing is happening to them. And then they wake up, and it's a blink of an eye away from the best place they could not even imagine. And then I think, if I would get in this situation, I would ask myself, and I was sad, and I was worried. It's difficult for the ones who remain, but the ones who go are blessed people. Why do you say my cause is disregarded by God? Sometimes we just have different expectations. Sometimes we just have different expectations. There was a man named Jack. He walked very close to a cliff one day, and he fell. As he fell, yeah, it's tragic, he grabbed a branch. He didn't fall far, so he still managed to grab the branch. If you did physics, you know if you fall too far, you can try to grab a branch, you're not going to be able to anymore. But anyway, he grabbed the branch, he looked down, the canyon fell for another 1,000 feet. He was scared, he started yelling, help, 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 help me, someone, hear me. No one answered. And he continued yelling, help, help. Suddenly he heard a voice. Jack, Jack, I can hear you. Who are you? Where are you? I'm down here. Please help me. I can hear you, Jack. I'm the Lord. I know you. I'm here to help you. The Lord, you mean God? Yes, Jack, it's me. Oh, Lord, I promise that I will stop sinning. I will become a good person. I will... Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you down first and then we'll talk. So this is what I want you to do, Jack. Yes, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. Okay, let go of the branch. Let go of the branch, I'll catch you. It was a long silence, and suddenly Jack yelled again. Help, help, is there someone else? Is there someone else? Because see, The solution that God sometimes has for our lives doesn't correspond to our expectation. You say, that's worldly. Now, when we know that it's God's will, we'll do it. Well, I want to tell you something. Paul asked God 3 times about his thorn, and it was Paul. I'm pretty sure that sometimes the message that God has for us is tough and is difficult to accept. And we feel like we're rejected because we just don't want to accept the truth that God has for us. But it doesn't mean that God rejected us. Here the passage in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11. It speaks about God this way. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And in John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, the word of God says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. This is the Lord we serve. This is the Lord we serve. He loves us so much. Lord, the God the Father sent his only begotten Son come down to this planet Earth and die for our sins. He loves us so much. Jesus Christ himself loves us so much that he died for every single one of us. The Holy Spirit loves you so much that although you sin so many times, and I sin and we sin so many times, he keeps speaking into our hearts and says, stop sinning. Stop with that sin. Turn to me. Turn to God. Turn to me. Do you want to listen to his voice tonight? Do you want to have a different perspective? Do you want to change your life? Do you want to see God for who he truly is? May God help us. See, when we ask this type of question, Lord, you have disregarded me. The real root problem is a problem of relationship. Is a problem of trust. And in order to fix this is by fixing our relationship with God, by getting closer to him, by spending more time in prayer, reading scriptures, fasting, worshiping the Lord. I want to end this message reading verse 30 and 31, and then telling some other passages of scripture to encourage you. The word of God says in verse 30, still the same chapter, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. See, even youth grow tired and weary. You know what that's supposed to tell you? In order to have the right perspective in your life, in order to grow in your life, you can't do that based on your own resources. Because even the youth, the ones who are supposed to be strong, even they get tired. You cannot rely on your own wisdom. If you want to succeed, if you want to grow, if you want to have a great year, if you want to have a great life, if you want to influence people, you need to trust in the Lord your God. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. This is the people who trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, you can do great things, things you would have never imagined when you trust in the Lord. When you trust on your own wisdom or on your own resources, you're going to end up being disappointed. You might even give up because we have limits. We can't go without God. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. And trust me on that when I say that you don't have enough resources. Maybe when you're young, you feel like, no, I can do it. And you don't do it directly. You don't tell God, you know what, God, leave me alone, I'll do it. But through the way you act, through the way you speak, even people around you might notice and see, wait, what this guy, I think, is trying by himself. Listen. Those who trust their own insight are foolish, says the word of God. But anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. And Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. May God give us the wisdom, the strength, the right perspective this year to choose him, to stop complaining, to understand that God is actually very close to us and he sees us and he has never rejected us. He loves you, he loves me. He holds us close to him. This is why we live. This is why we breathe, because he loves us. This is why we have a future and a hope, because he loves us. This is why we will spend our eternity with Jesus Christ, because he loves us. Amen. And may he return soon. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.